You know, there's a lot of life going on here. I think of just in the past few weeks, we've had hundreds of kids and families in here literally screaming with joy and having fun and hearing the gospel. We've got kind of a good reminder about Operation Christmas Child going on this morning. I am already so excited to hear that we are so close. We've got our sights set on that 400 goal, and I believe we're going to knock it out. And I just want to say, church, excellently done. There's good things going on. There's a lot of life happening. I got to be with Ben David and family and friends yesterday for his retirement from the United States Air Force. There's a lot of life, a lot of living, a lot of loving going on here. So just wanted to say thank you, and I'm encouraged by how the Lord is at work in us as a body. Hey, we're going to be in Mark 4 again. Thank you for reading that, Mike. That's where we're going to be. Oh, and by the way, is Felicia still in here? Felicia? I think she's in the nursery. Well, beautifully done, and all of her accompanists as well. Just a lot of beauty going on here. We're going to be in Mark 4. We're going to finish up the parable of the soils this morning. If you want to turn to Mark 4, you can. We just heard it. But we're going to be walking through just the last, really just the last verse. We'll make reference to some other parts of these first 20 verses in Mark 4, but mostly we're going to be just in verse 20 as we look at the good soil today. As I've been studying this week, I've been studying about soil and about what makes soil good. And I thought I had some at least anecdotal ideas, you know, because I grew up, being in a vegetable farming family. My dad sitting right back there, hey, Dad. And today's his birthday, by the way. 81 today. Love you, Doodah. But when I was a kid, we lived out on several acres, and we had a lot of garden. And that's really where this love of seeing things grow and being able to eat of the fruit of our labor, that love of gardening and rich soil and plants that are fruitful, that was really kind of built into me as a child. And I still enjoy it today. So it really helped me. I thought you coming into this whole idea of good soil, but I wanted to do some research and say, okay, well, I've got kind of my experience, but you know, what do the experts say about good soil? I learned words that I've never heard before, like friability. Friability has nothing to do with a pan and oil. Friability is how easily soil will crumble in your hand. For real, I'd never even heard of that, but it's a word, friability. I learned about sandy loam, which is what we have around here, sandy loam, which is some really good soil, naturally occurring soil, sandy loam. That's what's in my backyard where my little garden is, sandy loam. And I learned that no naturally occurring soil type, there are many different kind of major soil types all over the world and here in the U.S., but no naturally occurring soil type is as good as it can be. Not on its own. No naturally occurring soil type is as good as it can be. I wonder if that doesn't have something to do with the curse. You know, back in Genesis 3, God said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, no joke here, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. So I wonder if there's not some correlation there. I think there probably is, between the fact that there's no naturally occurring soil type that is as good naturally as it can be when man works it, when we work it. So today that's what we're talking about, good soil. But we're not really talking about dirt. We're talking about our hearts. That's the whole heartbeat of this parable, is the heart of ones who hear the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God, what kind of soil does that seed fall on? That's what we're talking about. That's where we've been a few weeks, and that's where we're going today. So will you pray with me? Will you pray with me today for the Lord to help you, for the soil of your heart, not just for today, not just for this message, but for your life? Will you pray with me today? Let's join together to seek the Lord and to say, Lord, we bring you our heart. We bring you the soil of our heart. Will you help us to have good soil? And then that's where we're going to go today. Let's pray together. God, we just tell you again, we look to you. Lord, you're the sower, and the seed is your word. And Lord, we want your word to fall on good soil. Soft, deep, clean soil. So that your word can find a home. Really, so that you will be exalted. Lord, that's the heart that we want to present to you. That's the heart that we want to pursue all of our days, with all the days that you give us on this earth. Lord, let us be in pursuit of constantly working that soil to make it better and better, so that you find a home, a welcome place in our lives. Lord, as we walk through, Lord, I pray that it really be you that teaches us, that you would speak, that you would drill down your grace and your truth into the soil of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would draw anyone here who does not know you, who doesn't have a new, clean heart yet from Jesus, I pray that you would draw them to you. And Lord, for those of us who have already received that new heart, that new good soil from you, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to tend it well. Lord, we thank you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mike already read for us these 20 verses. So let me just remind you of the last verse. The parable walks through three different soils that are not fruitful soils. But then the fourth soil is good soil, we're told, or good ground, literally good earth. And that verse says this, "And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And this is what makes them good." He says, "And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So that's where we're going today. Let's back up just for a moment and look at the preceding context, which was Mark 3. The very end of Mark chapter 3, right before we get this parable from Mark, the last thing Jesus said in Mark chapter 3 that led right up to this parable is this. He says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So I just thought that would be helpful for us today as we talk about doing God's will. The context of doing God's will really matches up beautifully with this good soil, with the point of this parable. So we see, it's not like Mark, none of the gospel writers could record everything Jesus said for us. But the way Mark recorded this for us, he went straight from doing God's will being what makes us close to him. He went right from doing God's will into good soil. I think there's a relationship there. I don't think that's just a coincidence. I think there's a relationship there. I think Mark saw continuity there from doing God's will to having good soil in our hearts. So quickly, let's just look at where we've been. So there's some good soil. That does look like good soil, a good, rich, dark earth. So first, good soil. Okay, the three soils that we've already looked at, do you remember what they were? The first soil was it's where the seed fell by the way, like right next to the road where things had been packed down. So we're told that that's not the kind of soil that we want. So the idea here would be that we want to have soft soil, not hard soil. Pretty straightforward. Not hard soil, because remember that hard soil didn't have any place for the word even to get down into it just a little bit. It rejected the word. That's the idea. So good soil is soft, not hard. Pretty simple. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're just going to look at these three soils and see what can we gain in looking at the three soils that are not helpful, that are not good soil. Okay, the next soil was the rocky soil or the stony soil. The idea there would be that there's a thin layer of soil on top of stone, which is actually pretty common in the Holy Land. But the idea there is that we want to have deep soil so that roots can go well down into that soil and be strong when hard things come. So not shallow soil in our hearts. Okay? And then what we looked at just last week was clean soil, not thorny or weedy soil. Because remember what happened with the weeds and the thorns. Okay, we're told that this soil, it wasn't rejected outright. The seed wasn't rejected outright. And it wasn't a flash in the pan. It didn't have just a thin layer of soil and then burn up when the sun rose or when persecution came. This third soil was pretty good soil in and of itself, but because it wasn't clean of weeds, when the root went down and the sprout came up and the plant grew, it was choked out, and still, even though there was a plant there that could remain, it wasn't able to be fruitful. So it still didn't fulfill the purpose that the sower sowed it for. So we can learn that we want to have clean, not thorny or weedy soil, so the word doesn't get choked out in our hearts. One of the things that I found, this is not the entire thing, but I found this website. It was a Penn State Ag Extension website. It was really very helpful, very good. But this was a list of some of the things. I didn't include the whole list, but this was a list of some of the things that they said makes for good soil. And it's interesting. I thought there's a lot of correlation here. It said sufficient depth. First thing on the list was sufficient depth. Well, look at there. That sounds a little bit like what Jesus talked about. Second, sufficient but not excessive nutrient supply. So not so many nutrients. You can actually have too many nutrients in soil. You have to have a good balance. Good soil drainage. So there's got to be some ability to retain moisture, but then it's also got to drain. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. And then low weed pressure, which, if I understand it correctly, is that third soil, not having weeds and thorns, things that are going to choke stuff out. So I thought it was pretty interesting that what Jesus said as he was teaching, using a parable in a very agrarian society 2,000 years ago, you know, Penn State Ag folks would agree with what Jesus said. You know, they almost could have taken this from the Bible, from the parable. I just thought that was kind of interesting and helpful to see that soil hasn't changed and how we can get fruitful crops hasn't changed. So let's walk through what good soil is. What good soil is. So if we take those first two soils, soft and deep. Good soil is soft and deep. Good soil is soft and deep. But, you know, good soil isn't naturally soft, and sometimes it's not naturally deep. Good soil is not natural. It's supernatural. If we're going to have good soil in our hearts, it's not a naturally occurring thing. It's a supernatural thing. Kind of in two different ways. It's supernatural. The first, God gives a new heart once and for all. I don't want to assume that everybody sitting here today already has a new heart, a new clean heart. That doesn't just happen. You know, the fact that Jesus died on the cross doesn't mean that all of us have a new clean heart that's been forgiven. That happens when an individual sinner says, "Jesus, I want to follow you." That happens when we individually, not because we're a member of a church, or not because we go to church, or not because we have a Bible tucked under our arm, those are fine things. But remember, what makes us have a new heart is Jesus coming in and doing work in us. It's when we welcome Jesus to come in and make us new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." So the idea there is that when Christ comes into me, when I get placed into Christ, that's how I become new. That's how he gives me a new heart. All the way back in the Old Testament, we hear that God's going to give a new heart. He's going to take away the stony heart that his people had because they were obstinate. They wouldn't follow him. But you know what? They didn't have a new heart. Not like he's done with Jesus. Not like he's done with us in the church age. Right? He now has given us a brand new heart, once and for all. But that doesn't happen by accident. So then also, those of us who already know Jesus, when we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith, not by sight. So this new heart, this new supernatural heart, whether you don't know Christ yet and need him to give you a new heart, it's supernatural, or whether you are in Christ, but walking by faith is supernatural. For us to cultivate this good soil that we're talking about today, that's a supernatural thing. It takes supernatural power. That's what Jesus gives. One of the things that I learned about soil is that about 50% of good soil by volume is actually air. 50% of good soil is air. There are some soils that have very little air in them, like clay soils. Good soil has about 50% of air. Just think of like little air pockets. I mean, if you go to your backyard, if you can, if you take a handful of soil, if you get down beneath the sod, beneath the grass, if you could get a handful of that soil and look at it, well, you'll see it's not a rock. It's not, you know, just molecule upon molecule. You can actually move it around. There's lots of air in there. Well, it's interesting. That serves a purpose. Good soil has these pores for the receiving and draining of water. Now, not just to receive water, but it has to drain. So it's interesting. If you have soil that receives water but won't drain water, things don't tend to grow there too well. Most things won't tend to grow there too well. If you have soil that receives water and holds it in those pockets but doesn't drain well, what you get is a swamp, right? Water has to be able to drain out of that soil. It has to be able to come in and drain out at a right rate, at a good rate, okay? I learned there's all kinds of neat tests, real simple tests that you and I can do in your backyard. It's really interesting. God wants us to be a river of life, not a stagnant pond. You probably know the difference between the Dead Sea, right? The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea. Things don't grow in the Dead Sea because there's no outlet. It's stagnant. There's no outlet. But a river, a moving river, is not stagnant, and things can grow in it. A lot of flora and fauna can grow there. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, God gives us His mercy. He freely pours out His mercy. And when we have good soil, that mercy is received, right? That mercy comes in. But you know what? If we just hold that mercy up and don't give it out just as freely as we receive it, we become stagnant. The truth is, when we receive God's mercy, when we receive His forgiveness, when we receive grace, but we hold it and don't give it, we turn stagnant. We turn self-righteous. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a good thing. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 4:32. This is the only way I know to forgive. You've heard me say this verse before. You'll hear it more. I think it's a great verse. Ephesians 4:32 says this: Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other as God has forgiven you in Christ. So what's the picture here? That just like I have received forgiveness because of Jesus, when the Father looks at me, He sees Jesus. Not because I'm righteous like Jesus in my own self, but because Jesus has given me His righteousness because I've received His payment for my sin. So He looks at me and He says, well, you know what? Mike, I see you and I see my Son. And He calls us in this verse to give just as freely as we receive. It's supposed to work. We're supposed to be like a river of life. We're supposed to receive from God and then it's supposed to come out from us. We're supposed to be that good soil that's got pores or air pockets that receive water and then let it drain at a good rate. Not too fast and not too slow. If that soil tries to hold that water too long, most plants can't grow in it. Most fruit-bearing plants can't grow in it because that's not what they need. They need a certain amount of water, but there's got to be a flow. There's got to be a give. So let's back up for a second. So good soil is soft and deep. It's supernatural. It's not natural, both when we receive a new heart from God and for our part. And this is what we're talking about today. How do we have that good soil and pores? There's got to be both the receiving but also the giving of grace if we're going to have good soil in our hearts. You know, to have good soil, you've got to have soil that is both soft and deep. So I brought in one of my shovels today. It's still got, you know, I didn't clean it very well. Still got some of that black gumbo from down in Houston on it. But I brought this. I want you to think of something. You know, things that we use to till the soil or to turn the soil, they're cutting tools. You realize that? I actually went out in my garage last night. I've got a tiller. And, you know, my tiller, she has a name. I call her Hun because she's a tiller. Okay, anyway. So, be here all week. But I was trying to pull one of the sets of tines off my tiller, but it was on there better than I could get it off, and I was too tired last night. I said, no, I'll just take a shovel. But, you know, either way, look, there's a cutting edge. There's a cutting edge. You know, if we're going to have soft, deep soil, if we're going to allow God to go deep into us with His Word, we're going to have to allow His Word and Him to cut us. There's pain sometimes. You know, if you read your Bible and nothing ever steps on your toes, you are not reading close enough. When I read the Word of God, when I'm engaged as I take in the Word of God, most of the time I come away going, oh! But it's a pain that gives life, like going under the surgeon's scalpel. It's a cutting that leads to life. So one of the ways you get those pores, one of the ways that you get those pores and that supernatural soil to be good is we got to let the cutting happen so that the grace can come in and go out. So that we choose humility and not pride. We've got to let the Word of God cut. So I'm just going to set that there just to help us remember that we want that good, deep, soft soil. But to get there, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we've got to come under the knife. And lastly, turning the soil is work. If we're going to have soft, deep soil, there's work involved. There's real spiritual work involved. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, most of the time when you see the word cultivate, okay, cultivate, or in an older translation, it'll be the word till, okay? But most of the time, and like in the New American Standard, when you see the word cultivate, it's the word avad. It's a really simple, it's a pretty common word in Hebrew, okay? It means to serve or to work. Isn't that interesting? The word for cultivating or tilling is the same word as serving or working. Simple, common word. To do what we have to do, to keep soil good, to keep the soil of our hearts good, soft and deep, it's spiritual work. It is spiritual work. As we serve the Lord, it's spiritual work to let His Word come deep, to send down deep roots. So it's work. Good soil is soft and deep. It's supernatural. It's got pores in it so we can receive and give. And it's spiritual work, just like cultivating is work. So there's the first ideas for you. Good soil is soft and deep. And here's the last kind of set of ideas. Good soil is clean and fruitful. It's clean and fruitful. You know, last week we talked about the thorny or the weedy soil. The thorny or the weedy soil. And that was about taking something away, right? It means tending my soil, tending the soil of my heart means I have to be careful that there are things that are going to try to get into the soil in my heart that can choke out the Word being fruitful in me. So last week, in large part, we talked about taking away. Well, that's right. If you're going to have good soil, it's going to be soft and deep, okay? It's going to be clean. And it's going to be fruitful. And you got to take some things away. There's some things that you're going to try to get in that you got to take away. But you know, I mentioned that on the very front end that no naturally occurring soil is good, is as good as it can be on its own. Not naturally occurring. You have to add something to it. And I don't mean just work. You have to actually add something to it. You have to add what's called OM, or organic matter. Organic matter. Okay, so I thought about calling this the math of good soil, but I didn't want to make too many different analogies or pictures here. But we could call this the math of good soil. You got to take some things out of the soil if it's going to be fruitful, and you got to add some stuff to it. OM, organic matter. All the different sites I found, they all described it very similarly. They said organic matter is comprised of three things: the living, the dead, and the really dead. The living, the dead, and the really dead. That'll preach. I like that. So the living means organisms. Everything from earthworms down to really tiny things that you can only see with a microscope. But the majority of OM, organic matter, is dead stuff. I kind of hope that at this point you're going, where's he going with this? Why is he talking about dead stuff? I thought we were talking about good soil. Well, I wanted to, I brought in another little thing for you here. So there's my shovel for cutting, for keeping soil soft and deep. Well, here's my pitchfork. So when I was back in Houston, we'd been there for some years, of course, and I had lots of compost. I had four big compost bins, and I mean big. okay? When we left, I actually thought about trying to bring some of it with me. I know. But I really did. I thought, you know, because if you have really good compost, you can kind of take some of that, and it's got all the organisms and fungus and stuff in there that helps the compost grow. So I actually thought about bringing some, but I thought if I tried to, I thought my wife, well, let's just say I thought she would officially have me sent to an insane asylum. She'd say, you know what, you really have flown the coop. But I got this fork because it's hard. A shovel doesn't work too well on good compost, but a fork like this does. You can really move it well. Even in its different stages of decomposition, you can move it well with a fork like this. So I got that. And then I brought in one other thing for us this morning. You guys may think I'm totally crazy, but this is, some of you who've been in my house, you've seen this. This is our little compost container. And I actually brought it in. It's actually got some dead stuff in it. Just pray for me. you can pray for Sharon. Okay, but it's just got some dead stuff. So there's a peach pit. There's a little peach pit right there. And there's some cucumber skin. And there's a banana peel. And there's some coffee grounds. There's all kinds of good stuff in there. It's all dead stuff. It's all dead stuff that was alive at one time, but it's dead now. You know what? As I studied, as I learned more about how adding any type of organic matter tends to help soil, any type of naturally occurring soil is generally aided by organic matter. Now, it matters what kind of organic matter you put in there, but the point is organic matter like manure or compost or humus, which is like compost when it's all the way done, right? If you just take your yard waste, right, the grass clippings and dead leaves, if you just make a pile, that'll eventually turn into good compost, organic matter that you can turn into your garden, into that soil, and it'll help that soil. What organic matter does, it not only has nutrients in it that feed things, but it also creates pathways for roots to get to other nutrients. I thought, now that was a surprise to me. I thought that organic matter was in and of itself. Well, here's what I thought was really neat about this. To get good soil, we've got to add some dead stuff. To get good soil in our hearts, we've got to add some dead stuff. Later on in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 8, some of you will be familiar with these verses, Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples. So the crowd, right, big crowd, not necessarily following Jesus, just there more out of curiosity. He summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Look at there, death. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life, death, whoever loses his life, for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So there's some denying and some dying. There's some death that actually leads to life. If I'm going to have good soil in my heart, I need to add some dead stuff. I need to add some dead stuff. I got a few ideas for you. Many of you have heard, we've shared it, we're very open about this. When Sharon and I first got married, we just celebrated 24 years a week or two ago. When we first got married, the first year and a half was pretty tough. And I'm probably not saying that as strongly as I could. It was pretty tough. About a year and a half into our marriage, the Lord broke into each one of us and challenged us individually, challenged me and challenged Sharon. And she doesn't mind me sharing this. For Sharon, it was she struggled with how she dealt with anger. Now, you might say, well, gosh, married to you, Mike, what on earth could she ever be angry about? Or you could laugh at that, which is appropriate. That would be more appropriate. And for me, the Lord broke in and said, Mike, you're full of pride. And your pride's getting in the way of you loving your wife the way I've called you to love your wife, by laying your life down. You hear that? Laying your life down. Ephesians 5:25. Sounds like more dead stuff. If we're going to have good soil, we got to add dead stuff. I got some other ideas, things you could consider about ways that you could add good dead stuff to the soil of your heart to make it richer and more fruitful. What if you laid down your need to control? You know, none of us can control anybody. I have a hard enough time controlling me. But sometimes we bring a need or a desire to control another person or situation, and that's God's stuff. That's God's stuff. We can struggle with a need to control. What if you laid that down? What if you took that need to control and laid it down and let it die and let Jesus help you kill it? And you add that to the soil of your heart. Because that's for good soil. That's for good soil. What about managing your image? The desire to manage your image. You know, every one of us here wants to be thought of well. We don't want anyone to think poorly of us, right? I mean, I stand up here, you know, and I got up and I worked for several minutes to get my tie right today. I'm having fun with these bow ties. You know, but I put on my best self when I stand before you Sunday morning and about any other time, right? But what if we laid down that desire in us that's not of God, that tries to manage our image instead of being real? Because that desire to be somebody that I'm not doesn't make for good soil. If I took that desire to manage my image and put that on the compost pile, that would make for good soil. That would make for good soil in my heart. Another idea for you. What about self-righteousness, which I believe is in our fleshy heart? That old man, every one of us still has the old man attached. And that old man always wants to find a way to create his own righteousness. He always wants to find a way to make himself the king. He'll never bow before the real king, that old man I'm talking about. That old man, that old self-righteousness, always trying to find a way or make a way to make myself presentable to God that doesn't incur death, that doesn't incur humility. What if we laid our self-righteousness out there on the compost heap? That'd make for some good soil. That'd make for some good. What about expectations? What about expectations? All of us have expectations of ourselves, of others, of God, of the way our life should go. And other people have expectations of us. And we talk about getting deep and tough. What if we laid those expectations down and said, you know what, God, I'm going to let you be God today. I'm going to let you be God today. I'm just going to follow you today. You don't just have what I need. You are who I need. So I'm just going to let you be God. I'm going to lay my expectations down. And I'm going to lay down, if anybody else has expectations of me that I feel like I've got to meet somehow, I'm going to lay those down too. Lord, let me play for an audience of one. Let me be pleasing to you. Let me walk by faith. Let me lay my expectations down on that compost heap. They'd make some good organic matter to feed the soil. What about sexual immorality? I personally know that sexual immorality is really good dead stuff. But when it's alive, it's deadly. But if you take sexual immorality and all the things that go along with it, right? And we all know, right, in our society today, sexual immorality is so, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's like the air we breathe. Our culture is saturated with it. And our culture wants to drag us down the cesspool with it. It wants to move in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we choose. Sexual morality is really, really, really good dead stuff. Really good compost. What about dependence on drugs or alcohol or food or fill in the blank? Fill in the blank with the things that maybe you struggle with. Dependence on something other than God. Any other dependence, that makes for good compost. And good compost makes for good soil. You know, we just sang it this morning. We said, forget yourself and worship Him. Forget yourself. Let yourself die and worship Him. Make it about Him. And that makes for good soil. Some good dead stuff. So, last thought for you here. Here's our big ear guy. Poor fella. We can maybe get some surgery for him. But remember the heartbeat. Right in the middle, right after Mark records the parable for us, starting in verse 9, he gives us a little interlude before Jesus gives us the explanation of the parable. And remember, he says, it's for him who has ears to hear. Again, he wants us leaning in. He wants us with a heart that wants to respond right to him. That's what he's looking for a heart that's leaning in, saying, Jesus, what do you got for me? I'm ready. I want what you have for me. Nothing else. I can't come up with anything better for me than you can. So he wants us to look to him to respond. So how can we do that? Well, we've already looked at this verse today, but 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're here today and you've never responded to Jesus' offer of new life, you can respond this way. You can say, Jesus, I need you. You know, for those of us who've been in Jesus for some time, that's a good prayer. Jesus, I need you. I'll never not need Jesus. But there's got to come a point in time when you and I pass from death to life. There's got to come a point in time when I give up my own, trying to make my own way to God. So that's one way you can respond today. And here's another way. And this is another one of my favorite verses here. From the Old Testament here, way back, the last chapter of Isaiah. The last chapter of Isaiah. And that's just the end of chapter of verse 2. The whole thing says this. Well, let me set it for you. This is God, and he's speaking to his people, and he's saying, hey, if there's something you want to do for me, I'll tell you what you can do for me. And it's not what you're thinking. He says, there's nothing that you can do for me. All right? So that's the backdrop. Let me set that up for you. This is what he says. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? Or where then is a place that I may rest? For my hands made all these things. He says, you can't do something for me. For you to build a temple for me, I don't need your doing, he says. Don't do those things and think that you're somehow doing what I really want. This is interesting. He says, for my hand made all these things, and thus all these things were made, declares the Lord. And then he says, what I've got up here for you, the last part of verse 2. But to this one I will look. So he says, here's what you can do for me. If you want to know where my heart is, here's what you can do for me. Don't try to make me a building. Don't try to do an external thing for me. He says, to this one I will look, to him who is humble. Remember, humility speaks of getting low. It speaks of getting down in the dirt for real. It means I lower myself and exalt God and others. He says, but to this one I'll look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit. Contrite, it speaks of brokenness. It speaks of brokenness. And contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. And remember, the whole heartbeat of this parable is what? What's the whole point of Jesus' parable? He wants the word of God, which is the seed. He wants the word of God to be able to find a good soil in each one of the hearers, so that the word produces a fruitful crop. Well, you know what? When we tremble at his word, that's good soil. What's that mean, to tremble at his word? You know, I speak with people about the word of God. I share the word of God. I mean, long before I was a pastor, as I was just a young growing believer, I would talk with people about the word of God, believers and unbelievers. And I can remember particular times in my life when I would speak with believers. And I would open up the Word of God and I'd say, now here's what the Bible says about this issue. Will you bring your life into conformity with the Word of God? And there have been many times when I've sat across in my office from people or in their own home or across a table at a restaurant when I've laid out the Word of God before somebody. And they don't tremble at it. They don't tremble at it. I've had people say things to me like, well, that's your interpretation. No, it's pretty straightforward. I've had people tell me, no, racism is acceptable. For real. I've had people say that to me. As I've opened up the Word of God to them, I've had people say to me, that's just your interpretation. I've had people say to me, sexual immorality is okay. There's no interpreting to do. It is straightforward. There's no room for that in our lives if we're going to have good soil. So good soil, we tremble at His word. That means when He speaks, we recognize there's real power there. And if I reject what He says, I'm in trouble. I should fear that type of soil. I should fear allowing my heart to be hardened. I should fear allowing things to get in there into the soil of my heart. They're going to choke out the fruitfulness of God's word. So we're going to sing a song in closing. And I hope, my hope and my prayer, truly my prayer, is that you and I will respond. That we will respond to God through His word. That the heartbeat of this parable will not be lost on you or me. That we won't come out of here and say, well, you know, I saw something about a shovel and something about a pitchfork and something about dead stuff. That's not the point. The point is that you and I would tremble at His word. That He would win in us. Come on, let's sing.